And what you just heard is Sweden Rolls going at it again. And we're here with the second episode of Väsen, the Nordic horror role-playing game. And with me I have today Dominic Kelly, Ingela Lund and Jakob Hultkrantz Hansson. Welcome, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, I'm Mattias Redbo and I will be your GM for this very special season with Väsen. Okay, so last time we left off on a road in the middle of the woods, right, guys?
That's right.
Yeah. We sure did.
It was some kind of animal or something in the woods, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what it is, but I figure it must be an animal.
And it's almost completely dark and we're surrounded by forest and we don't know where we are.
We do not know where we are. Maybe an hour away from the place?
Yeah, it was a bit scary.
Yeah, it was a bit hairs on the back of the neck.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Right, so you're sitting there on the sled and you have the driver with you as well, right?
That's right. But he's injured.
That's right, and he's been gashed and blooded mysteriously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although he is also drunk.
Yeah.
Exactly, he's not in his best wit.
Ah, it's true. You don't know if those two things are connected or not.
Not yet.
No.
So, I think we will dive right into the adventure, right?
Perfect.
Let's do it.
Let's do that.
Let's see what happens. And here we are in the middle of the road. As you said, we're in the middle of, you don't know where exactly. It's somewhere outside of Uppsala on the way to Kullebo farm. You're sitting on a sled together with the driver, Lasse, who has a gash in his forehead. And I'm just repeating what you said here, guys, but just to make sure we're all on the same track. And it's getting darker around you. And as you're about to get going again, you hear this crash in the woods. So what do you want to do?
Did you hear that?
I did.
Of course you did. It sounded like a big animal or something.
Which direction is it coming from?
It's from the general direction of where Lasse went into the woods.
Oh.
It's closer now. We heard it before as well.
Could it be an animal that hurt Lasse?
You see, Lasse he sort of perks up a bit. Oh, I think we should get going. That can't be good, he says.
What is it out there, Lasse? Do you know?
Oh, should I know? I barely remember what happened to me in the first place, do I? Oh, my head.
What wouldn't be good about being around here then? Maybe it's an animal. Maybe we can hunt it, if there isn't a problem.
Look, maybe now is not the time for, hunting. And I think the missus will be expecting us as well. Please just get going.
You seem in a rush, Lasse.
Okay, Carl. I think Lasse is right. I mean, if it is an animal, this is not... I know that you like hunting, but this is not the time for hunting, and we need to get going. So, what do you say, Vidar?
Yes. Yeah, I agree. This can wait for another time. So let's go. We're running late, I guess.
So Felicia is... she looks at Carl and with intent, and she gives a bit of a tug to the reins, to the horse, and off they go.
And Carl is looking out over the side of the sled with his rifle at the ready.
Yeah.
Looking out at the trees.
Well, the light from the lanterns and the lamp don't reach that far, but still it's snow on the ground, so it's fairly, light. You think you see a shadow moving there, but it's hard to be sure. And then you're off. You hear the jingling of the small bells attached to the horse as... Brunte starts off in a trot again and pulls the sled with him. And crashing, whatever it was, recedes in the distance.
Oh, thank God. So we're off again. So I trust Brunte now to give us in the right direction. Everyone all right?
We're good.
No.
No, I know. How's your head, Lasse? Do you have any recollection of what happened? Do you have any recollection of... did you fall?
Now that... are you up on the driver's seat, by the way?
I'm up on the driver's seat, so I'm sort of shouting this from the driver back to Lasse.
Yeah.
I really can't remember for the life of me, actually. I was just taking a wee, just Now let the steam off a bit, and then I... Last thing I remember, it was like I must have hit my head or something. Yeah, I'm sorry, maybe I've had a bit too much. The two of you sitting back there with him can... Yeah, he reeks of alcohol. It's possible he's been drinking even before he met you, now that you think of it.
Wouldn't be surprised.
So, the sled continues on this forest road. And you have on both sides still the forest, deep and dark. And there's not much change in the way of scenery, actually, until you break out into the open after a while. And you start to see farmland. It must be, but it's now covered in snow. You see the odd farm here and there. Just a faint light glittering from some lamp in the window somewhere, scattered across the plains. And you turn between these hills and these fields. And it seems like, indeed, Brunte knows exactly what way he should be going. He's not hesitating, just plowing on. After a while, if you don't want to do something before we arrive, do you have any special preparations or something you want to talk about?
Well, I had an idea, actually, even in the last episode. Maybe I can squeeze it in now.
Mm-hmm. Try.
Mm. So Felicia has had some experience of the forest before, not maybe good ones. So let's just say that she's mentally prepared herself for being in the dark forest again and sort of gotten away from some of the fear that she had of the forest, and she's starting to get more used to it than she was before.
Calming herself, yes. And stealing herself at the same
time. Yes, and sort of a mantra in her head going, this is all fine, this is all fine. So she's plucking up courage mentally.
Yes, and as you do that and as you break out into the open, you feel a bit safer, but you know, it's not as bad as it was when you first entered the forest.
That's right.
So you can have an advantage as well for preparing on the journey.
Excellent.
Do you want to do something, Vidar Wikebrand? Or are you satisfied with just propping up poor Lasse in the back?
Well, since he's injured now, and I really didn't feel so good about that situation back there with the forest and the blood in the snow and no trails or tracks or of any kind, and I start to recall what I know about medicine and what I can do about patching people together and what I've known from the military, what I've seen other people have been doing, the field doctors, the more specialized medical
personnel on the
personnel,
field.
Yes.
So you start to clean him up and administer to his wounds, that kind of thing?
Yes, of course, yes. Both that and also for future things to come. I mean, recalling that I might be needing this information. I might need this information again. So I'm trying to recall everything I know.
Yeah, letting the memories of old days of service flood through your mind. So you take care of this man's wounds, and you have seen far worse, you know that. But it calms you, and it makes you remember, and you tell yourself, yeah, I know this. So you get an advantage as well for preparing yourself. Now it's up to you guys to remember it. So if you want to use them, you know, in a precarious situation, you just let me know.
So that is an advantage that we can use was it plus one or plus two?
Plus two. Plus you two. Can use it once.
And you can use it once.
So it's like a one-time thing.
Mm-hmm. Choose it wisely.
When it's gone, it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right, back to the sled. You're sitting there, and it is pulling up off the road onto a smaller road, leading up to up a hill. And you have farmland to your left, and on the right, yeah, there is forest again. It seems like this little farm that you can see in the distance is squeezed in between the forest and open farmlands. And as you approach and get closer, you pass over just a small stone bridge. You can barely see. You see, though, the railings of it still. The rest is covered in snow. And it's hard to see. Maybe there's a small brook or something under. You get over on the other side and you drive into what seems to be the central courtyard of a farm. There are several houses, two larger ones. Quick glance, probably barns of some kind, stables. There's one that seems to be the main house, and then a smaller house, guest house, hard to tell. And it's still getting darker. It's not completely dark, but it's hard to make out any details. Brunte, he just pulls up to a stop right in the middle of the courtyard, and the jingling bells come to a rest. There are a few lights in what seems to be the main building. You can see through the small windows inside. What do you want to do? Lasse is unsteadily getting to his feet. He's intending to get off. Oh, now we're here, he says.
Okay. How are you doing, Lasse?
Oh, much better. Thank you. Thank you. And he gives an extra nod to Vidar for taking care of him.
Of course. No problem.
It's better.
Oh, it's good to be back out in the countryside. You can breathe out here. Oh, no disrespect to you, city folk, but I feel my whole body relaxing. This is more like it. Good.
Well, I think it's pretty cold.
What did you say, Felicia?
I think it's pretty cold. I should have brought some more clothes. It's freezing.
Bracing, Felicia, bracing. That's what it is. Oh, not like Helsingland, though. No, there you've got proper cold. This is just a bit of a nip in the air. Well,
should we go up to the building, then, to have maybe get inside?
Hmm. As Lasse is stumbling off the sled, he's going in the direction of the main house. I'll get someone. You just stay there, he says.
Stay here? Oh, I need to get into the warm as soon as possible.
So what do you want to do? Do you want to stay and wait for him, or do you...
No, I wait, but she's just annoyed.
Mm-hmm.
I take my things off the sled.
Right. Your dog, Jaeger, is...
Yeah, I mean, he's very happy. He's off and he's cocking his leg, leaving little yellow patches in the snow, and he's sniffing around, and now and again puts his head bolt upright and peers in a direction and then goes off and sniffs somewhere else. And Carl takes his rifle and his baggage, what he has of it, off the sled, and just stands there, pleased and breathing in deeply.
And Vida and Felicia, what do? Do you just stay on the sled, or do you...
No, I jump off.
Taking the farm, or do you do anything apart from waiting? You jump off?
Yes.
I jump off and I look at the different houses and what they could be. I'm already trying to scan the area of what is there.
Hmm. When you look at it a bit more closely, it seems to be... I mean, you've been on farms before. I mean, at this time, actually, also, like 90% of everyone is working on farms, so it's hard to have missed them, even if you live in the city. And, yeah, there's the main building, there's what seems to be a stable, that kind of thing. There's a barn that is partly actually caved in, you see now.
Mm.
The roof there's a big hole in it, and part of the wall has crumbled inwards.
And the barn is different from the stable, yeah? It's two different buildings.
Yeah, they're two. It's all like, if you are in the central courtyard, they're all, the main building is on one side. The north side, you might say, on the south side is the stables. The west side, there's a barn. And on the east side, where you came from, there's also a smaller house that could be a servant's house, maybe. Hard to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You also see a smattering of other buildings. Could be an outhouse, a little shed.
Mm.
There's a well in the middle of the courtyard and a huge apple tree, you'd say. There's no fruit on it now, obviously, but still it's standing there in the middle of the yard. And when you turn your gaze towards the main building, you can't help but notice that there's something big on the roof. It just sort of sticks out. It looks like a metallic contraption of some kind. Looks like it's been... It doesn't look like it belongs there. Like it just, you know, what was put there. Do any of you have experience with farming equipment, would you say?
Not Felicia.
No.
Maybe, Carl?
Maybe, yeah. I mean, he's been around the countryside, you know, all his life, yeah.
Mm. So you would notice that too, then, if you look around. There is actually what looks to be some kind of iron plow on top of the roof to the main building. It's like hanging from the chimney. It's very odd. And then a door opens in the main building, and a figure is briskly stepping out, making her way, you see, it's a her, across the snow towards you. She's holding a lantern. It's a woman. It's a young woman. You can see that quite soon. And she's coming up to you. Say, oh, you must be... she looks at each of you in turn. You must be Felicia. She looks at Felicia first.
Felicia nods. Yes, that's right.
I'm Clara. Clara Kulle.
very, very pleased to meet you.
I'm glad that you could make it. I actually wasn't sure that any of you would come, but three of you, that's... Well, and then we have... And she looks at Vidar. You must be the captain?
Yes, that's true. Yes, I'm the captain.
Captain Vikebra, what a pleasure.
Nice to meet you, and thank you for the invitation.
Don't thank me just yet, she says with a wry smile. And then she looks at Carl. And it's your dog, she says.
It is. It is my dog. Great, great lad. Great lad.
Mm-hmm. Just be sure to, you know, keep him where you can see him, she says.
I'll do that.
No, there being a lot of animals around. If he's not used to farm animals, it might be. I'm sure you have him in check.
I'll keep him by my side.
I'm sorry, and you're Carl, I suppose.
I am indeed. I am indeed. Miss Cullen.
Yes.
Yes, and at some point it will be good to have a conversation in private about some of the contents of the letter that you sent.
Yes, yes, the letters, of course. Yes. I will let you... I was about to invite you in. Sorry, I was in the middle of something. And then you see the arm with the, holding the lantern is sort of sticking out of the big coat that she's wearing, and it's covered in blood up to her elbow. I was just, you know, doing some kitchen work. But please...
Are you hurt?
No. It's the pig.
Have you just...
You've been...
I was in the middle of cutting up the pig.
Ah.
Oh. Well...
We need some pork, don't we? It's Yule, after all.
Of course.
That's right.
Of course. And I can't help noticing, Miss Culler, this contraption on the roof. It's an unusual place to keep your... keep your equipment, so to speak. What's the story behind that?
Yeah, she turns around to look at it and looks back at you with concern in her face. That's one of the things that's one of the reasons I invited you all to come here. Let's get inside to talk, shall we?
Yes, please.
By all means.
Yeah. She turns away and leads the way back into the door where she came from. You see the farmhand, Lasse, he's already disappeared somewhere. Can't see him anywhere. And the horse is just standing there. So do you follow her?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes.
She's leading the way into the main building. As you enter, the sort of cozy heat from a well-heated farmhouse and with all the smells of hay and old food hits your nostrils as you step inside. She just kicks off her boots into a corner, shrugs off the coat. So you can just, you know, it's rather warm in here, so you don't have to. Or keep them on, she says. Indicating your clothes, and then she just steps in through a doorway, leaving you behind. What do you do?
I think I keep my coat on because I'm still cold. I keep it on.
Yeah? Do you follow her?
Yes. Carl follows her quite smartly. There's something about this bloodstained arm which has sort of piqued his interest, so he doesn't want to miss anything.
Yeah, you see, you step after her promptly through the doorway, and she... And the both of you that are you staying behind or?
You know, I'm following. I'll go after her. Yes.
You're in a small sort of hallway or just a small room just for coats and apparently where you know, shake off the dirt before you go into the common room, it looks like.
So I leave my coat, I hang it on one of the hangers.
Yeah. Hmm. And then you step after the others.
Yes.
So as you enter then, in file after her, you come into a small, it's a common, typical common room of a farm. It's sparsely furnished with wooden couches and there is a thick layer of hay and straw mixed together on the wall, on the floor. And there is a hearth going with a fire going and a table with room for at least all of you. There's also another woman in here, apart from Clara, a blonde. She's shorter, a little bit plump, with large, watery blue eyes. She's just standing in another doorway, staring at you. She has a small boy clinging to her apron, also staring at you with exactly the same blue, watery eyes. And Clara, she just walks briskly up to the table. So, do you want to sit? Do you want something to eat? We could prepare some porridge for you, just something to warm you. Up, she looks at you.
Oh, yes, please. A bite of something would be just a thing.
And the rest of you?
Yes, thank you.
I can taste it, yes. I can have a tiny little bit, thank you.
Right. She turns to the other woman. Berta, could you serve some porridge, please? Berta just stares at you. Berta, please, could you please serve some porridge, please? She says again. And the other woman just turns and leaves, the boy following her. Yes, says Clara. Would you like to sit down and we can have a discussion?
I'm sorry for asking, but would that be Berta, the wife of Lasse, who brought us here?
Yes, indeed, it is. She works here.
She seems, maybe she's hard of hearing or something?
No, I'd rather think she's a bit, we're not used to strangers, or I should say they are not used to strangers here, so... And you are all... You don't look exactly like the usual crowd. Pardon me, she says, and then she sits down. I'm sorry, I'm a bit nervous about all of this business, she says, so you excuse me if I sound a bit off.
That's quite all right.
Yeah, we're kind of interesting about the reason to why you summoned us and why you wanted us here and what the purpose of your errand is. What is your intentions?
Ah, that's the question, isn't it? She says. Oh, sorry, would you please sit down? You're making me nervous standing there.
Of course.
Oh, am I making... I'm sorry, of course.
So do you sit down?
Yes.
We do.
Yes.
She's taken a chair. She's looking at you each in turn and she says, I suppose you don't know each other, do you?
Well, we know each other a bit better now, but no, we didn't.
We had a bit of a chat on the sled and, well, we had quite an adventure actually coming here.
Oh, really? What happened?
Well, your aide there, Lasse, he went off into the forest. He was also quite inebriated, you know. He had brought a whole keg of beer onto the sled, so maybe you want to have a talk to him about that. So he was going into the forest to relieve himself, and all of a sudden we heard a large thump. And when we found him, he had a big gash in his forehead, bleeding, so either he fell or he was hurt by some kind of an animal.
Oh, she looks flabbergasted, and she says, "Oh, I'm so sorry that you had to see that. I mean, he has a hard time with the drinking." She theatrically whispers, "I am so sorry. I mean, usually he does very good work around the farm. I mean, tensions have been running high, and I think that's the reason he's not keeping himself together. You say he got hurt?
Yes, something, or if he fell, or if some kind of." Animal in the forest scratched him, and he had quite a large gash in his forehead. We saw to it as best as we could.
Huh? She starts absent-mindedly drying her arm off with a piece of cloth while she talks. So, I'll just start from the beginning, shall I? And then you can ask me questions, whatever you want.
Please do.
Yes.
The thing is, this farm, it's been in my family for generations. Kullebo, that is the name of the place, she says. I don't know, did Lasse tell you anything on the way here?
Bits and pieces.
Mostly small talk.
Ah, I see. So, I'm not the first owner of the farm. My father, he recently decided to leave. He was the last one. My mother sadly passed away a couple of years ago, and he was the last one to stay. And, he had problems of his own. He decided to leave anyway, and he's now in Uppsala, and... He came to me and asked me if I wanted to take over the farm. Thing is, I left when I was very young. I couldn't stand the place, to be honest. I grew up here and it just didn't feel good around here. But I decided to give it a chance. I've been studying, you know, in Uppsala and other places, and I've been studying agriculture and engineering, and I thought I could put my skills to good use. Maybe modernize the place, make it better. Make it a better business, even. And that's when problems started.
What kind of problems?
We have, let's say that this farm, the traditions here are very important. We're told to keep to the traditions no matter what. And this means that people have used the same tools for 100 years, and you can't do anything. You can't fix anything, or you will break the traditions, she says. And so I decided to start doing all of that. I mean, why not? How do you stop tradition if you don't break it? So I started by buying some new equipment. I had some money saved up. I worked for a mining company just before I got here. Well, one of the things I bought is that excellent iron plow you saw on the roof out there. It's a Gutenberg design, and it's the best there is to get. I imported it from Germany.
And how did it end up on the roof?
I don't know. I put it in the old barn, and the next morning it was up on the roof. I tried to talk to Lasse about it, but thinking maybe he was trying to joke around with me. No, I don't think he did. And that's not the only thing. As I said, there are rules around here. And I, for one thing, you know, the first thing I did, at this point you see Berta is standing again in the doorway. She has a big bowl with her, that's a steaming bowl, a couple of wooden spoons and some plates on the other arm, just waiting. And you know why? Did you notice the apple tree when you came in?
Yes.
Absolutely, yes. Next to the well.
Yes, she leans forward. You can't touch that, apparently.
Huh.
And I did. I decided to remove a branch because it was rotten. You hear a strange sound coming from Berta, which is like a clucking. Oh, God. Clara turns to see her. Are you stand? Why don't come in with the porridge, please, Berta, will you? You see Berta come in, she puts the bowl of porridge on the table and backs away, standing next to a hearth. And the next thing that happened in the night is that our entire storage of winter apples were eaten by rats. Isn't that strange? Just overnight.
The entire storage?
Yes. A barrel full.
Hmm.
They went into the kitchen storage and they ate just that. Just the apples. A few of them crawled into the walls before they died. We had to clean them out for a couple of days. Yes, you heard Berta say. They were large, weren't they? With great yellow eyes, and you could see that those were Satan's creatures. Berta, please shut up. Sorry, please interrupt me if you have any questions or...
No, please continue your story and we will get back to it.
Well, what else? Yes, I decided that we should use the excellent well that we have in the middle of the courtyard. You saw that too, right?
Oh, yes.
Apparently we can't. We can't use the well. We have to go down to the brook to get our water. I didn't know. I didn't remember. So I used the well, and apparently I shouldn't have done that, because then the milk went sour. We have a couple of cows, and... turned out that they wouldn't produce proper milk. It soured immediately. I'm not making this up, she says. It sounds crazy, I know, but that's what happened. And I'm honestly at my wit's end here. It seems I can't do anything without these things happening.
If I could interrupt with what might sound like a strange question. That magnificent horse here.
Yes, Brunte.
It's very well kept, isn't it? Very well kept.
Yes. Lasse does an excellent job with the animals, I have to say.
Doesn't he? He seems even good at braiding a mane. Is it Lasse who's been looking after the horse in that way?
He couldn't do that if he tried, you hear from over the hearth.
Ah, Berta, we haven't been introduced. My name's... Carl, but would it be yourself who's been doing that work with the horse?
You see her casting a glance at Clara and struggling to say something, and then, yes, it's me.
Oh, well, it was very well done.
Excellent job.
Well, is there? You've been here for longer, Berta. Have you not?
Yes, that is true. Me and my husband, we have been working here since, what is it now, at least 15 years, I think.
Can I ask you a straightforward question? Has there ever been any other sort of help on this farm?
Oh, well, we've had other farm workers come and go, you know.
No. Anybody that you... Well, how can I put this? Can't see.
You see her eyes are darting from side to side. She's obviously very uncomfortable with this.
You can tell us better.
Look, you hear from ground level.
Are you talking about the grey one?
It's a little kid.
Oh, I expect we are. says Carl to the child.
Oh, I'm sorry, Egon, you can't be inside here. We have guests, says Bertek.
Oh, it's all right, it's all right. We're happy with children around. It's not a problem. He was just helping out with the question.
And Felicia goes to the little boy and she stretches out her hand. She says, is your name Egon?
Yes.
My name is Felicia. Pleased to meet you. Thank you for telling us your story.
Thank you,
he says. Good, 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 Egon.
And the grey one, you say?
Do you have a gun?
He's looking at the rifle. If you did bring it inside, maybe you didn't. Sorry.
I came in pretty smartly, so I just carried everything through.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't have guns in here.
Oh, why's that?
You can't have guns inside, isn't that right, Mommy?
Berta looks at him.
Why don't you go out into the kitchen and see if your father needs some help?
She shoves him away.
I'm sorry, Miss Clara. It's just he's very curious about the guests.
He's a great lad, Berta. He's a credit to you. So this grey one that he mentioned, tell us some more about this.
Sorry, are you asking Berta or yes. Clara about this? Berta.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, you all know that there are things out in the woods. You do know that, right? She says.
We do. We do better.
You see Clara is shaking her head, very tired of this, apparently.
And some of the things that you can't see, you have to have respect for them, or things will go very badly for you, she says.
Are you intending to scare the guests? Says Clara.
Oh, Miss Cullet, it's all right. Berta's just telling us what she can. And very interesting it is too.
Berta, can I ask a question? You said you've been here for 15 years, Berta.
Yes.
And there must have been many different incidents going on in those 15 years.
Let me tell you, there has not been as many as has just happened since Miss Cullet came to the house.
I see.
From that day on, things started to go very bad indeed.
I see, I see.
Clara stands up. Look, Berta, if you're just going to stand here and scaring our guests, maybe you can make yourself useful in the kitchen. You can talk to them later. I was actually in the middle of a conversation here, please.
Clara, please. We are very interested in hearing what everybody has to say about this. It's something I would like to ask Berta something also. And also maybe you, Clara, because you said earlier that there are these rules all the time. Who's making the rules, Berta?
Well, I can't say, really. I mean, they've always been here. When I came to work here first, I was explained to me that there are rules and you're supposed to follow the rules. I mean, I always follow rules. That's everything goes just way better when you do. And it's not been a problem with me, but some people just don't like to follow rules, it seems.
And the grey one that Egon was talking about, have you seen the grey one?
Not exactly seen, but I mean you can feel him, can't you?
She stares wide-eyed at the roof and the walls.
He's just everywhere, making his presence known.
What specifically?
Is it the grey one who makes the rules?
I think so, she says. I mean, I was told the rules by Clara's father. Sigvard was a very great man, if I may say so. He knew that you had to respect the traditions, she looks at Clara. And we all did. And everything has been going fine with this farm. You know, actually, we're quite famous for having such fine animals and even the best taters around. Potatoes, you know.
Yes, potatoes.
Yes.
So, if you don't mind my asking, what kind of animals do you have in the farm?
We have, right now we have two milking cows. We have Brunte, of course. We have a mare that we just recently got from Stockbo Farm. We also have two pigs. That's it.
Hmm.
She looks at Clara. Clara nods as if to say, keep going, it's okay.
So, if there's nothing else, I'll just... Do you want some cream with the porridge?
Oh, that would be very nice indeed. And just one last thing, the grey one. What does the grey one help with around the farm?
Most things. I mean, keeping the animals healthy helps with a harvest, and things that usually go well. We don't know if it's, you know, the grey one. It's an expression we use to ourselves. Now the grey one's been here, and maybe it's not so serious, she says. But it's a way to talk about things.
I understand. Well, thank you very much, Berta.
Thank you,
she says, and she turns around and goes into the kitchen.
Berta, while you're at it, would you please send in Aegon as well again? I just want to have another word with him.
The kitchen goes silent for a moment.
Yes, go into them. Go in. Go in with the fine people.
And then the small boy is looking around the corner, the door frame.
Hello, Aegon. Come in, come in. We just want to talk to you.
Okay.
He takes one step inside, stands there.
Are you good at following rules?
No.
Do you like the grey one?
I don't know.
Have you seen him?
Maybe.
You can tell us. We're your friends. We understand.
Can you please roll for manipulation? one of you, since you all three talk to him, one of you can roll and the others can assist. So you get two extra dice.
Yeah.
Well?
So...
Who wants to make the roll?
You called him in. Vidar called him in, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just looking for manipulation here. I don't think I have it.
Maybe you should roll for it, and we help out.
I can do that. So I've got 5. Do I take one more or one for each?
You can take one for each. 2 more.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That's a great GM.
Unbelievable. Loads of 5s. No successes.
Oh, we can help him, can we not?
You already did.
Yeah, sadly.
By providing extra dice.
Ah, okay.
So, well, you see, if you don't want to push it, you'll get a condition if you do.
I'm going to push it.
Right. Okay. So you do the roll first, and then we'll talk about what happens.
Okay. Okay. It never rains, but pause. 3 successes.
Yoo-hoo!
Really?
Yes.
Okay, let me just check one thing here. Just a moment.
Oh, now we can ask Egon loads of questions. We can just fire away.
All right, there are 3 mental conditions. They are angry, frightened, and hopeless.
Yeah.
You will have to choose one of them, and then we'll find a reason for why, what is happening to you in this moment.
Okay.
That is suitable to the scene.
Frightened.
Yeah. So while you're getting this connection to the little boy, you start to feel deep in your stomach that there's something that's not right about this place. It's just not right. It's like it's creeping, a cold creeping up through the floor, into your bones, settling in your stomach. It's just, you've never been so sure of anything. You have to swallow a few times before you can continue talking to the boy. And you will mark down now that you have a condition, frightened.
I have, yeah.
So you will get a -1 on all roles pertaining to mental skills, logic and empathy.
And how does that condition become healed?
If someone would talk to you and calm you with a skill of inspiration.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would require a calm moment and some time to do that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, he steps a few... Obviously something about you that intrigues this little boy very much. He can't have seen strangers that often. Maybe never. So he takes a few steps closer and he stands there, scrubbing one leg against the other, mouth hanging open, just staring at you. What did you want to ask? All 3 of you can ask, I think, at this
yes.
point.
Yes, and I think Felicia is she can see that that Carl is uncomfortable. That something happened, that something came over him. She can see it.
The grey one. Have you seen the grey one?
I don't know what the grey one looks like.
What have you seen, which is out of the ordinary in this place.
Well, there's a man living, I think, in the forest, maybe. And once he pushed me, and I fell to the ground, and it hurt. So I ran away, and I hid myself.
He pushed you?
Yes.
Did you see what he looked like?
Well, I was much littler then, just very small. So now I am a big boy, but I remember still that this happened. And he pushed me and I fell to the ground and I ran away and I hid. And he was grey.
He was grey?
Yes.
Was his skin grey?
What is that?
His skin. Was his whole body grey or was it his clothes?
He had hair on him and he was grey. I don't remember.
Hair across the whole body?
I don't remember.
He looks uncertainly from one face to the other.
Aegon, can I ask, are there any other strange things that you can remember? Any other strange things that have happened to you?
I don't know. I'm getting a bit scared.
Well,
I don't want to talk about this.
You don't need to be scared.
His lip starts to tremble a little bit.
You don't need to be scared, Aegon. We are here to help you. We are here to help you from all of those things that make you scared. Okay, Aegon?
Are you going to shoot the Grey One with that rifle?
No.
Nothing like that. I'm a hunter, you see. And,
Are you going to shoot my father?
No, of course not. Nobody's going to be shot. It's just for hunting animals, nothing else at all. Why would we? Why on earth would we use it on your father?
Listen, Aegon, I believe in what you are saying about this grey man, and I think it's really sad that he has frightened you. And I can honestly say that we are going to do whatever, or I'm going to do whatever I can to help out here, to see that nobody gets hurt. So, yeah, I'm using my inspiration and all the empathy that I can.
You're trying to inspire the boy,
yes,
to some bravery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what do you want to... Do you want to make him feel safe, basically?
Yeah, I want him to feel safe with us and with sharing his stories.
Hmm. Okay. So.
But more in general, actually, that he needs to calm down and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, give me a roll for inspiration.
One success.
Hmm. So, what do you do? Tell me how you calm this boy down once again.
Well, I put my hand on his shoulder and I tell him the story that I might have been having a similar experience with something that I cannot explain, and that I believe that we might be able to together do something about this feeling of fear and about the things that goes wrong.
Do you mean like that you would do that with me?
Well, we might be needing you to tell us things that you have maybe have seen, what you know about where he have been, this grey one. And
yeah, and he looks at you. He's completely mesmerized by you. He's just staring at you as you're talking to him.
Do you think that you can do that for me? Help me with these things?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes, I can. I have a stick. I can bring it.
And he turns around and rushes out of the room.
You know, wait with the stick for a bit. What do you...
I'll bring the stick,
he says, and then he's out of the room. Mm-hmm. He's gone.
Well done, Vidar. Well done. I think that boy has a lot more to tell us than we can imagine, actually.
Clara has been sitting this whole time just looking at all this happening. She's sort of shaking herself now. Oh, that is... That was interesting to watch. It's almost as if you've had experience with this kind of thing. Talking to them, I mean, like that. Asking the right questions and...
Well, I've been working with people all of my life that needs to be inspired in many ways. And we all need that kind of inspiration sometimes, from time to time. And yes, I have also experienced things in my life that I cannot really... put the finger on. and that I really cannot explain. So I think that we need to have respect for those kind of happenings.
Mm.
So, Clara, when you got here, did they... Or actually, I wanted to ask you about your father. Did he ever mention anything about the rules? And did you get the impression that he was afraid of something or...
Oh, yes. All the time. I mean, I grew up in this place. Can you imagine what it was like? You couldn't do anything. You know, you have to go... You can't go westward around the barn. You have to go on the east side. You can't pick the fruit from that tree. You can't do that. I mean, you absolutely cannot read from the Bible. Forbid. God forbid. It's just rules, rules. And that's, I got sick of it. I just had to leave. So, yes, I know.
Hmm. But do you think about all this? Have you ever seen anything like... What Aegon is talking about, or what Bertha was implying?
To be honest, I mean, they are fine people, but they're exactly not, you know, it's not like they're studied people, you know? If you go out into the countryside like this, everyone believes this. It's just like, that's how things are. I mean, what am I supposed to believe? That there's a grey one walking around, you know, just making a hassle, just to be... Why? It makes no sense, no sense whatsoever.
But Miss Culler, I mean, that is the thing, is it not? That there is something which doesn't make any sense here. There is a mystery, and well, I'll be frank. You certainly in my letter here, and I have a feeling that there might have been something similar with my two new companions here. You mentioned that one of the reasons you brought me here is because you'd heard that I could see things that other people didn't. You must, despite all of your interest in progress and technology and the sciences and whatnot, you must have a feeling that something is going on here that can't be explained through all of that, or otherwise surely you wouldn't have brought us here. What do you think is going on? What do you suspect? Why did you bring just us to help with this matter?
When you say that, you see the air sort of going out of her a bit, and she slumps a bit in her chair, and she says, "You know what? I have to be honest with you. It wasn't me exactly that invited you here."
Oh.
At this point, you see Bertha coming out from the kitchen. She's acting a bit strange. She's walking with her back towards you, like she's almost walking sideways towards the front door, trying to be inconspicuous, you think. Clara keeps going. It's not me, actually. It's my aunt.
Your aunt?
I've been meaning to introduce you to her later. I mean, she's probably asleep right now. She's an old lady, but... Bertha, what are you doing? Bertha stops in her tracks.
I'm just going outside to get some water, she says, standing still.
What are you carrying? Bertha slowly turns around. She has a bowl, a wooden bowl. It's steaming. Where are you going with that?
It's just some... It's for the gentleman's dog. She says, just some porridge and stuff for the dog.
It's very kind of you, Bertha. I tell you what, can I accompany you outside with that for a moment?
Clara gets to her feet. No, look, I'm having none of this. I know exactly what this is.
Oh.
You're going to give that porridge to the grey one, aren't you?
Well, we always do at this time of year. It's very important. You have to follow the rules.
Clara just storms across the room, snatches that bowl out of her arms, and walks into the kitchen.
Oh dear, says Bertha.
Do you want to do something?
Yes. Clara, I go after her.
Hmm. You meet her as she's coming back. She's coming back into the common room again. She has another bowl. This one is filled with food scraps.
This! You can give this!
She says, and she thrusts it into the arms of Bertha.
Off you go!
Clara, wait now. Wait now a little bit. Maybe right now, when we are here, maybe we could, just as a test, see what happens if we follow Bertha's advice here. I mean, now that we are here...
As a test?
We can just play along a little bit and see what comes out of that, don't you think?
Well, as much faith as I have to give in you, I mean... Seeing what you've already accomplished, this is still my house, and I cannot abide this kind of behavior, taking perfectly good food, giving it to the dog, or whatever, which I don't think actually you were intending to do, Bertha. So, let me just this once show you
what I mean. Berta, do you mind going out with the scraps instead? Please? You see, Berta, she's hesitating. She's obviously not very comfortable with this. Please? And she shoves Berta out the door and closes it. Now, I'm sorry, Mr. Wiedebrand. This is still my house, and I don't want to start immediately by having to follow all these rules.
Well, I suppose that will also be a bit of a test, won't it? We'll see what comes of that. But you were saying to us that it was not yourself that invited us, and yet the letters were written as if from you, Miss Culler. Your aunt was not mentioned in them.
No, I did believe I mentioned that. I got your names from someone, didn't I?
That's right.
You did indeed. Would that be your aunt?
It is. She's a special one, she is. She just came to visit me, as it happens, a week or so ago. And, she's... Let's say she has one foot in both worlds. I feel I can talk to her, and still she gets along very well with Lasse and with Berta. And unfortunately, she's also quite old and a bit, she can be acting a bit strange sometimes. I think she's sleeping in the other room. So maybe we can talk to her later?
Absolutely. Is there anything else you can tell us about your aunt? How did she know our names? Where did she get our names from?
Well, apparently, she looks a bit ashamed almost. She dreamt about you.
She dreamt about us?
That's what she told me, at least. She has very, very vivid dreams? Honestly, I don't know. She was very clear about, she gave me the specific names, where to find you, and that I should mention the other things. I suppose they're private, so I won't mention them here now, but...
What's the name of your aunt?
The name?
What's your...
Oh, Linnea.
Yeah.
Linnea.
She goes by the name of Linnea Elfeklint. She's actually, she's my father's sister, but she changed her name from Kulle to Elfeklint.
And where has she been living if she hasn't been living on the farm in her life?
Well, lately she's been living in Uppsala, in the mental asylum. She has her own home as well, but she stays there a lot to get treatment. As I said, she's had a hard life. Maybe I didn't say that. You hear a scream from outside. A shrill and high-pitched scream that is cut short, and then it's silent. What was that? Was that your dog?
I don't know. It could have been Berta.
Carl jumps up, grabs his rifle, and goes to the front door and pulls it open.
Felicia goes after him.
Yeah.
With her revolver.
While you've been talking, it's actually become almost pitch black outside. You can see a few yards in front of the door as light spills out onto the snow, but not more than that. You can see, once again, footsteps going in the snow, away from the door, out into the yard, but the rest of it is dark. Do you want to grab a lamp?
Yes.
Is there a lamp in the hallway that we can grab?
Yes, there are lamps hanging from hooks inside.
Okay.
Okay.
Carl grabs a lantern, gun in the other hand.
Yes, Felicia grabs one.
We grab one each.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And follow the tracks out into the snow.
Clara is close behind you as well. You follow the tracks, they go for a few yards, you see them leading towards the well, the old well in the middle of the courtyard. And there they stop at first, and you see the plate, the big bowl of scraps, is lying in the snow beside it. And then there's no one here.
Where is Berta?
Well, that's odd. Berta! Clara cries. Berta! You just hear a slow creaking.
Where's the creaking coming from?
It's close by.
Carl looks up at the apple tree. Is there anything to be seen there? He extends his arm with the lantern so he can look into the branches.
As the yellow light shines onto the dried and withered branches of the apple tree, you see, hanging from one of them, is Berta. She's suspended by her hair that has been wrapped several times around one branch and seemingly unconscious, swaying slowly from side to side. And that's where we'll end this episode, guys.
Oof.
Okay. It's getting scarier and scarier.
Yeah.
Blimey, what a place to be.
That was a chilling image.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kullaboo Farm.
Kullaboo Farm.
Kullaboo Adventure Farm.
Yeah. Fairly gives you the shudders, actually.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So what do you think is going on here? Maybe we shouldn't spoil everything, but do you have any ideas so far?
Well, I...
Yeah.
I know for a fact that Dominic is acutely interested in, like, folklore and stuff like that, even before we've done this, so...
Tell us. What... What's your...
I think it's definitely... I mean, from Felicia's point of view, she wants to think that it all has a rational explanation, but even she's wondering about the other world as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. One doesn't want to say too much.
No.
I mean...
Yeah, we could say that this game is, though, about that the characters have all the characters have the sight.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's right.
It's written, it's like part of the setting. Mm. They can, for some reason, see what others can't.
Yep.
See creatures, see the underjordiska. So that much we know, that they have all experienced things normal people have not.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just... I mean, it sounds so much...
Well?
Sounds so much like this place has a... Well...
Shh.
Anyway.
Remember, what would you... What Carl would know is not maybe the same that you would.
No,
know.
Indeed.
So if you,
indeed.
I could see you smiling already, like the last episode. And I was like, shit, he knows. But let's just keep it
absolutely
under a lid for now. Yeah. So, cool. We'll see what happens if you survive the next episode.
Yeah.
When Sweden rolls once again. You've been listening to Sweden Rolls, playing Väsen, starring Ingela Lund, Dominic Kelly, Jakob Hultkrantz Hansson and Mattias Redbo. Väsen is published by Fria Ligan, Free League Publishing. Please also check out the show at patreon.com/swedenrolls, where you can help this show going by donating just a little bit. And there are bonuses to be had, like prequels, soundtracks, bloopers, and tons of extra content for Patreons only. And Patreons at higher levels even get to play role-playing games with us. So come join the fun! You can also help out by leaving reviews, liking, and sharing on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, for which we are eternally grateful. The music of the show is composed by Andreas Lundström. Until the next episode, goodbye and sweet dreams.